Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. DebatePhysics.com also. But the debate is in this strange form. It just doesn't, non-responsive form. Okay, so kind of useless. So Disbar's lab has done another, rolling crap video. And, he finally does it right, because he did have a flaw in his previous slop experiment. So again, let's do these sloppy at-home amateur experiments, because that's how good physics is done. It really isn't. So this is how the whole kinetic energy theory got validated, was doing experiments for show rather than really go, by doing experiments that deceived people. So I've attempted to explain that friction isn't a great way to detect total energy. And it's basically mostly because of gravity, because friction is just measuring the gravitational effect on an object. It's not going to measure its absolute energy in some linear way. It's going to do it the same way gravity does it, which is very poorly, in terms of as an illustration. So let's leave us go to drawing. And there's nothing in this video that it's kind of elementary, blah blah blah. But the fact is, unless you give people the context, it'll look like, but it that's all it is. This is just seems like science. It's not real science. And especially without any information regarding the unreliability of this visual effect. All right, so we'll get rid of that. All right, so a simple experiment. It's not even done very well, in the sense that you can, you hear a big thump at the transition point, where things go straight. But anyway, so the idea is it's the same thing as gravity. So you go one distance and then you go four distances high. So you're talking one and then, the idea of three more. Okay. And so basically we already know, it's already established as a fact before anybody even starts, that if you want to double the velocity of an object in gravity, then you have to go, four times higher. So if you wanted something drops at a speed, you have to go four times higher to double the speed. All right, so they already know that. And so all you're doing is doubling speed. So there's two things you could notice, that you're also just, from four times higher, it only takes twice as high. So even though this is dropping from a four times higher distance, it's only going to take twice as high. So you're only in the gravity twice as long, right? So it's only the twice as much time, so that's kind of a giveaway, right? So you only have 2x the velocity, and it only takes 2x the time. And all you're saying is, because it's four times the distance, that's the one you'll pay attention to and say, that means it's four times the energy. When these two things are kind of glaring, in terms of saying, no, it's only twice. All right, so I've made this argument, and Disbar has conceded this argument, about gravity. And the fact is, the faster you fly past the gravity well, the less bent you are, because you're in the gravity less time. And so he's basically conceded, yeah, that makes sense. Well, the same thing's happening here. The only thing that makes the friction with the surface. So you're relying on the surface. If there was no surface here, and you were just rolling this, and then you shot it into empty space, it would just keep going forever. Now, it'd be rotating, so it would have angular momentum, so its velocity would not be the same, because its angular momentum wouldn't be allowing it to roll through space. But regardless, let's just say you convert it into all just regular velocity, so you consume all the angular momentum, the rotational momentum, and you just have it leave straight with the velocity commensurate to the momentum. So basically you just drop it, this thing is all just converting. All this is doing is saying, when I put a ramp here, I'm going to create friction. I'm going to cause it to roll. And instead of having direct energy in a direction, it has rotational energy in the direction. But regardless, for the sake of the argument, all right, so I've already pointed it out right here. This argument explains what happens here on this surface, right? Because this thing would just keep traveling if it wasn't for gravity pushing it into the surface. So gravity is creating the energy dump, the place where you can dump the energy. And all you're doing is just saying, well, how much am I going to affect? How much energy can I put into the ground? So the only way the object slows down is the energy has to be put into the ground. That's what you're getting rid of it with. So you're using the ground to get rid of the energy, the rolling energy. All right. And so so I've already kind of posed the question. So let's just say if it was, you know, you really were betting your life. You know, so let's just say I had a road and I gave you a little steel plate and you were inside a little ditch and you were holding up the steel plate even with the road, okay? And then we were going to roll cars. We're just going to roll the cars at different velocities, okay, over you, okay? Over the road. So I can roll the car at 10 miles an hour or I could roll the car at 100 miles an hour. So if your life depended on it, which one do you think you want? The 100-mile-an-hour car or the 10-mile-an-hour car rolling over you? Okay, so it's pretty easy to figure out that, oh yeah, it's the same, you know, we're talking about time again. How much time are you going to spend on top of me here? If you're going 10 miles an hour, it's going to be a lot more time you're going to spend on top of me. Now, so if I made 10 and 40, okay, then you know it's twice the time. So it's twice as much time you're going to spend on top of me. Okay, if you're going 10 miles an hour than 40 miles an hour. So you're going to spend twice as much time on top of me. You're going to weigh essentially twice as much. So I'm going to get squished at the 10 miles an hour, and I have some chance at the 40 miles an hour. Probably have to go faster than that to actually survive, but whatever. The point is that you can understand there's a real correlation between how fast I'm going and how much pressure is actually going into the ground. So for this to matter, this one traveled four times further. Not twice as far, no, four times further. Well, the only way that could matter is if you thought that the same amount of energy was going into the ground for each unit of distance. And it's kind of obvious that, no, it's not. The faster it's going, the faster it gets through the gravity, the less pressure is pushing down on it. So it really, the rain, okay, the rain analogy works. Okay, once again, it points out why this happens. It happens because it's, again, the Galilean 3-to-1 thing. You don't reach half your velocity, okay, until you're 3/4 down the track. So not until you're 3/4 down the track are you going the same speed that this one left with. So this matches this speed. And you got all of this, okay, and you know, because of the higher velocity, you got all of that distance, and all of that distance had the same amount of pressure. So the surface that got this much pressure, say this was 100 pounds, this got 100 pounds of pressure. Well, this whole distance, this whole huge thing, also got 100 pounds, nothing more. It's because it was spread over a much larger surface. And so that's the real takeaway point, is that it's the same as the gravity, okay? You're not changing, you're not escaping gravity. So you need to measure the energy with some other device that isn't gravity dependent, okay? So I would argue, the simple argument is, it's just like it's twice the velocity, it's twice the weight, okay? So you go four times higher, it doubles your weight. It doesn't quadruple your weight, it only doubles your weight. And I already proved that in one of my little rickety experiments. Okay, dropping things on a scale. So I dropped from 1 centimeter, I got a weight. Okay, I dropped from 4 centimeters, I got twice the weight. Right? Okay, you can't see that, but it's twice the weight. So all you have to do with this experiment is put the scale this way, right? So we just put a scale this way. A spring scale, you can't really use a digital scale because it doesn't measure instantaneous weights. So you put a little spring scale here, and what you'll find is that this one will hit with whatever, you know, 20 ounces, and then the other one will hit with 40 ounces. And that'll tell you it's only twice as much energy. That's the reality. So you could put a little generating motor on there, but you got to measure the wattage, not the voltage. Okay, so you got to do the volts times the amps to get the actual energy. Okay, so, you know, there's probably other ways of creating some system that doesn't rely on gravity. Because as soon as you start measuring things with gravity, you're going to do this 4-to-1 thing instead of what it really is, which is 2-to-1. So again, the weight's 2-to-1, the velocity's 2-to-1, the time is 2-to-1. This didn't take 4 times longer, okay, to travel this distance. It took 2 times longer. Say you roll it from 1 centimeter and it takes 5 seconds. It's only going to take 10 seconds to do this whole distance. The 1 second here will be exactly, I mean, the 5 seconds here will be exactly the same as the 5 seconds this one travels. And then this gigantic distance will be the same amount of time as that. So again, we're, you know, here we are just arguing people who choose. I mean, they're deliberately saying, I wish to bias this conversation by emphasizing what gravity does here, the four, the distance argument. And I'll ignore the weight, I'll ignore the time, and I'll ignore the velocity. They're all the number two, okay? I'll ignore the twos. Wherever a two comes up, I'll ignore it, because I want to believe in four. And that's all that takes place here. So again, they think the prediction, the fact that it moves four times as far, means that there was actually four times the gravity pulled out of the surface. When I could make it so, it's so easy to understand. The faster it goes across the surface, the less weight per square inch. They have to know that's true. The faster something goes across it, the less it weighs. I mean, they have to understand that. The less that's coming out of, the less that's going into the ground. Yeah. Because it's all gravitational. And it's just this argument over again. It's obvious the faster you move through the rain, the less rain is going to hit you. And therefore, the less you can push into the ground. The less weight you'll have, the less wetness you can suck into the ground, the faster you're going through the gravity. All right. So, who knows what people's real motivations are and all that stuff, but it just seems this bar is looking for excuses to evade. I've been asking the same questions for over a year, you know, the spaceship argument, all these arguments being made, and it seems like it's just dragging his feet, showing up and saying, well, I don't know, but yeah, okay, whatever. And then he's just doing the same crap that Brozo is doing rickety, shitty experiments to try to emphasize a point that is explainable, that does have a context. You're not providing any of the context. Yeah, it's just, I'm going to try to deceive people. That's all it looks like to me. All right. He says nothing in this video about what these results mean. So there's nothing you can take away from it except he's going, see, it came out my prediction, you see? Yeah, so what? Everybody would have predicted that, okay? Momentum predicts that. Because momentum understands how gravity works, okay? Momentum happens in the context of gravity. And again, if you measured the weight of the object, even if you could measure, if you could put a scale underneath your platform, you would see that the scale would read the same weight, okay, for the whole travel of the 3/4 of the distance as it measures for the last quarter. The last quarter will weigh just as much as the first 3/4. Just a fact. It'll be more distance, but less time. and the time matters. That's how you decide how much something weighs, is how much pressure for how much time. All right, so that's enough of that, and we'll go do some crappy comments. Yuck. Anyway, on the website comments. Don't get any comments much anymore on the YouTube, but whatever. Well, none in a civil, you know, rational form. Yuck. A brozo comment on the Despar comment on a video, so I figure we might as well. So, nice one, Despar. So, first off, okay, he did three other videos, at least three others, where he made this gigantic mistake. Well, the first video was okay. The second video is where the mistake starts, because he starts getting rid of the giant cliff. And when he gets rid of the cliff, he doesn't compensate for the fact that he raised the level of the surface. And so now his measurements are way off in terms of the proportions. He's doing 1 centimeter versus 8 centimeters, 7.5 centimeters or whatever. Yeah, 1 versus 7 instead of 2 versus 8. All right. So he broke the relationship between the two things, and that's why he was getting really stupid numbers. So he ought to just delete those videos. Frankly, they're just going to confuse people. Anyway, glad it worked out well in the end. So again, it's all about getting your little phony results, okay? It's not about actually understanding any of the physics, okay? In an ideal world, the more silent the experiment, the better. Well, yeah, so this is just pointing out that his does have lots of lumps and bumps in it, so we'll just ignore that because that's just too obvious. But I think this experiment is a good effort that doesn't really need improving. So it doesn't need improvement. So once you've used friction you use gravity to decide everything, then, you know, you can prove your theory and be happy. But if you use some other method to actually measure the energy, okay, and you're not going to get the same results. Again, the lever shows you how this really works, because the lever does the conversion. Something, you know, it doesn't have the 4x thing. It doesn't happen anymore. Okay, so the thing going twice as fast is only moving twice the distance, because the lever has to work with real energy. It can't work with fake energy. Okay, your delusional energy. It has to use real energy. And the fact is, twice the velocity is twice the energy. Okay, unless there is a more serious point to it than proving the principle. Again, what principle is proven? Have any of these people ever proven that friction takes energy away at exactly the same rate, no matter what your velocity? Has that been proven by any of these people? Just like the clay argument. Did anybody prove that clay, how far you penetrate clay, measures how much energy you have? No. This is just such crap, okay, as logic. This is, you know, if you know, he likes using Monty Python skits. This is the fair cop, see if a girl floats, and then if she floats, she's a witch or whatever. She doesn't float, she's a witch. This logic is so stupid. Okay, principles for the likes of us and Gary, etc. So again, you don't understand any of the principles involved. I mean, I'll directly ask Brozo, do you think, okay, that an object weighs exactly the same no matter how fast it travels across a scale? Do you think it weighs the same? Yeah. All right, we can rest in our beds, safe in the knowledge kinetic energy theory, okay? Some huge conspiracy, so I guess he means is not, made up by a French woman or anyone else. So I've already pointed out that it was made up by a guy called Leibniz, a guy who overtly said, as he was presenting it as a theory, okay, said, your physics is too atheist. So hardly a great source. And then, again, the French woman didn't know what she was talking about, in the sense, and the argument is that she conceded in the end that he was wrong, okay? But they don't tell that part. You know, I haven't gotten the direct papers of that part, but apparently there is some question about whether she remained a Leibnizian. Okay, I mean, Voltaire basically says she didn't. So even, you know, that she died, so we're not going to know. It's a fudgy ground. But what if that's the truth? What if she intended, okay, to retract that crap, but she just didn't live long enough to do it? All right, anyway, I'll have to look at the footnote she wrote in when she rewrote Newton's Principia. That was her last publication. And, maybe those footnotes have a giveaway somewhere that maybe she wasn't promoting Leibniz. But anyway, but this isn't real credible physics. Again, the sand experiments are so easy to dissect. I mean, you do an experiment where you have high velocity going into a pile of sand and you count how far the fastest, the furthest little bits of sand go away from the pile, and you say that's how much energy it has. When obviously the slow thing can only give the speed it has. It can't make things go faster than it's going. So obviously it's not going to make sand go really far. You know, but it's going to make a lot of sand move. And so those are the real measurements, you know. But anyway, all right. So again, it is a conspiracy in the sense that it seems you're all not going to pay any attention to the truth. You don't care about the context. So you don't care that it's 2 times the velocity. You don't care that it's 2 times the speed. I mean, the velocity. And you don't care that it's 2 times the time and 2 times the weight. All those twos don't matter to you. And the only thing that matters is this 4 that you know gravity does. So it's the same thing. Gravity is, you know, it's twice the velocity, not 4 times the velocity. That should be a huge giveaway right there. It's twice the time in the gravity. It's not 4 times the time in the gravity, right? And so all the rest of it is just the weight. What do you think the weight happens to the weight? Well, I already proved what happens to the weight. 4 times the height, I only get 2x the weight. It only weighs twice as much. It fell from 4 times higher. It only weighs twice as much. You can't figure out that if it weighs twice as much, that's only twice the amount of energy. It only increased its energy by 2. It didn't increase its energy by 4. It only weighs twice as much. It only pulls the spring twice as much, not 4 times as much. But yeah, you don't care, right? You just don't care. There's no indication you pay any attention to any of these arguments. You don't counter them. You don't dispute them. You don't refute them. You don't do a damn thing. You just ignore them. Now, if that isn't a conspiracy, what is it? A conspiracy to, you know, cover your ears and go, la, 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 I love my kinetic energy. I mean, what else is it? It's glaring evasion of the arguments and the facts. You're just glaringly evading. I mean, I'll just point the point to Despard again, because he's not going to counter any of this mush this idiot just typed on here. So if your life depended on it, you would say you don't care whether a car rolling over you is going 100 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour. You're not smart enough to choose. You can't figure out you're much better off on the faster car. You can't figure that out. And you can't figure out that the reason why that happens is because the ground is absorbing less energy per inch the faster the car goes. Friction does not pull energy out of objects at an even rate, independent of speed. It's completely dependent on speed. Okay. All right, some website comments. Just too stupid. Okay, regarding Despard's lab. Your drawings before had the weights above the lever, not suspended below. So, levers come in a million different varieties. A wheelbarrow is a lever, right? Lots of different instruments that we don't think of as levers are actually just plainly levers. It doesn't matter whether the weights are above the lever or below the lever. I mean, it doesn't matter in any it doesn't substantially change the lever. There's subtle differences. So yes, hanging or dangling is part of what scales do for a good reason. So I mean, the Liberty statue is holding the scales, right? And they have little baskets, and that's for a reason, because it's more accurate, okay? Because the weights aren't rotating then, so there's little subtle differences. But I mean, a lever's been around for thousands of years. If somebody says the word lever, they shouldn't have to explain it to you exactly which lever is the ideal lever and all of that crap. You should be able to understand there's lots of ways to make a lever. You can use a bearing in the middle as a fulcrum. You can use a little pointed thing. You could use a pin. Lots of different ways to create a lever. All right. Not suspended below. Looks like you changed it to this form since the original doesn't oscillate. So this is retarded. All levers oscillate unless, you're hitting the ground, okay? So if you have a fulcrum that's only an inch high, and you can only go 1 inch of oscillation, but it will still oscillate. So obviously you don't want to have a fulcrum that has a flat surface right below the fulcrum. So that's why, again, they make levers with long little stems, and then they have the fulcrum on, suspended, so now it can oscillate. Okay, these are all, this is such simple mechanics, I shouldn't even have to respond to comments this stupid. I mean, it's so fucking stupid. All levers oscillate, okay? If you're just measuring two, if you just put two weights on it and oscillate, and, and they have a decent fulcrum, it oscillates just fine. All right, physics, girl. I don't know why this change of subject, but whatever. What Schrodinger cats really means. It really means that you people are so fucking ridiculous. Schrodinger was making fun of you. It was making fun of how ridiculous your theory is. How stupid it is. Do you really believe the cat's both alive and dead? Are you so fucking stupid? All right, but yes, there's no such experiment, because nothing in the universe ever does this stupid entanglement, de-entanglement thing. There's no such place you could ever go in the universe where you could ever be unseen by the forces that are in the universe. They'll always be taking pictures of you. The camera's never off, so you can never travel from here to there without energy taking your picture. Okay, and that's what getting de-entangled means, that some piece of energy interacted with you, okay, and now you're outed as either being a positive or a negative, or a left-hand glove or a right-hand glove. So you're outed immediately all the time. Gravity is outing you, with billions of little particles every second. You're being outed by cell phone calls. You're being outed by microwaves from star that exploded 10 billion years ago. You're outed all the time. Okay, so there's no place in the universe to hide from the photon, so to speak. You can't evade the fact that you are going to be tested, okay? Your location and your velocity is going to be measured by the universe all the time. You could never find a little piece of time where it's quiet. It doesn't happen in the universe. So the whole experiment is nonsense. And again, it was invented to say you really can't be this stupid to fall for this crap, and you're proving you're stupid enough to fall for it. It's just so ironic. But I'm sure physics girl doesn't understand that. She's an idiot. She thinks 5-ton trains going 10 miles an hour have twice as much energy as 10-ton trains going 5 miles. Whatever. Inverse, you get it. All right, the Brozo 1.4. The idea was that the same energy imparted by the rubber band would either accelerate the half mass at twice the velocity, yes, my theory, or the kinetic energy equation predicted it. Or would the kinetic energy equation predict it? No, the point is that people like Professor Lewin will tell you it's momentum. You have to conserve the momentum. So there's no way, you can't make this happen, this little magical event of yours where you change the momentum of the energy source. You can't change the wattage. There's a certain amount of watts, okay, you have in the wire. You have to use them. You either convert them into heat or you convert them into some other action, but the watts are there. So you have to explain where the watts went. So you can't make different amounts of momentum. You can't compress a spring and then say it has variable momentum. It doesn't have variable momentum. It's a certain pounds per square inch. It's a certain amount of pressure. It can't be variable and then still claim there's a conservation law because you've just violated it, retard. So nobody teaches what you're arguing here. You're defending a theory that you can't link to a single source for it. There's no physics professor that would agree that the lighter object goes 1.4 as fast. There's not a single one making that argument. And here you are defending it as if it's conventional physics. You can't see how out of control you dupes and simpletons are. You've believed something because a stupid character like Pirro and Brozo told you so. No, you have no other source for this fact. And yet you're preaching it. That's how silly your religion is. It didn't come from the Pope, it didn't come from Rome, it didn't come... No, the guy next door made it up, and you're falling for it. That's how religiously susceptible you are. You will believe anything. Just tell me and I'll believe it. Or would the kinetic energy... Okay, if the ratio is indeed 1.4, then 2... Then... if the ratio is indeed 1.4 rather than... 2, it would be support that kinetic energy is right. So again, it's the premise of my argument, though. The point is that no physicist will argue that that's what happens. So again, you're arguing for something no physicist claims happens. All right, now you are wanting Bro to fix the speed of the two objects. He did that in his own video, for fuck's sake. And then when he went to collect the energy, guess what? The magical 1.4 didn't show up, okay? And he didn't get his 1.4 answer. The two objects seem to have the same energy. I mean, it's just it's the same. I mean, the answer he got was useless because it was in between the two predictions. So it was absolutely the shittiest experiment of all of his experiments because it got an answer that's just totally useless. Right in between the two. Okay. That is a different thing. So again, no, it's just about collecting the energy and finding a method to collect the energy that's rational. And the fact is, you people just don't give a shit about doing any of that. All right, the distance to land is the measure of velocity as a result of the energy transfer. Again, no one's arguing that point. I mean, obviously, if you start with 1.4, you won't get twice the distance. Duh. But that wasn't the premise of my argument. So again, it's useless to measure it if you're not going to measure it coming from the source. And if the source isn't producing the predicted amount of energy, then it's perfectly rational to question, well, then you've just violated conservation of momentum. So why don't you explain where the momentum went? If you make the objects move at the right velocity to get the... impact where you want it, you haven't shown anything. Well, I would argue that if you do it the opposite, which is you create false velocities, not 2-to-1 velocities, then you're not doing the same experiment. Gravity produces twice the velocity, 4 times the height, twice the velocity. It doesn't produce 1.4. Let's see, Bro made the experiment like you asked, so of course he didn't. The two experiments he did are crap. I mean, one of them's some gimmick. Who the hell knows what's the gimmick? And then the second video has the huge flaw where he's got the whole fucking lever is oscillating. You don't like the results. I don't like garbage, and the results are garbage. Okay, they're shitty experiments. Now you once again want to move the goalpost. No, the goalposts were in the same place. Do the experiment I asked him to do, which is create a lever, okay, where somebody can just switch the weights to different locations, all right, and then challenge a person to be able to tell the difference between the one mass, okay, four times, you know, the distance, and the two mass, you know, one quarter of the distance, and go ahead and show us how you can tell the difference. Anyway, more brozo buffoonery, the lever. Okay, I guess you haven't seen Steven's newest vid. So, of course, I've seen them, I've responded to them, and I've explained them. So, whatever. Because that is exactly what he has done. He has made a contest. So, again, and what is the point of that, even? That little game-playing bullshit. I mean, it's like there's a lot of physics videos out there where they don't give you the answer to a question. You know, Professor Lewin evades subjects in a couple of videos where he evades the subject by saying, well, you think about it overnight. Yeah, you come up with an answer. Because he doesn't have an answer. Okay, I think the flaw in your argument is that you looked at textbook examples of levers. So again, there's no evidence that I go looking anywhere for answers, because guess what? The textbooks are all full of bullshit. So that's the whole point being argued here. The textbook says it takes four times as much fuel to go 60 miles an hour than it takes to go 30. Did they ever prove it? No. The textbook says the 8-pound ball going 16 miles an hour knocks down twice as many pins as the 16-pound ball going 8 miles an hour. Did they ever prove it? No. I mean, you know, fuck you and your textbooks. Full of lies. Wave particle duality, the famous Young experiment. The Young experiment that has nothing to do with the double slit experiment. Okay. I mean, fuck you and that crap of levers using forces where things equal out. Well, the fact is there are actual some experiments out there. The Bruce Yerney videos, for example, that kind of overtly demonstrate momentum is in charge. You know, but whatever. This isn't some dynamic system where speed is involved. Well, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. The whole fucking the subject is about these dynamic circumstances where energy is exchanged. This oscillation, which only occurs when a lever is set up a particular way with weights below. What the fuck are you talking about? So again, he's just making shit up. Somehow it oscillates different or does some. No, it doesn't do anything different. Doesn't make any difference. The weight above, the weight below, it's still going to oscillate. Still the same thing, fundamentally. It's just more precise if they're dangling below. Make your lever the way you originally drew it with the fulcrum below and the weights on top and it doesn't oscillate. So again, why does he say this retardedly stupid thing? It oscillates just as fine. You just can't oscillate it as much because it hits the ground. But the point was, I didn't even draw the ground in the image. I mean, I just used the basic symbols, okay? So if somebody gives you a schematic and they have a plus sign, and then they have a ground with little lines, you're saying you don't understand that that's basically plus and minus. The ground just represents the minus. You can't even do that much on your own. You're so stupid. Why am I even reading this? Be done with it. Okay, why must levers make sense with regards to kinetic energy? Oh, why must your physics theory not create free energy? Because there isn't any free energy, retard. That's why. Because there are no perpetual motion machines. So if your fucking theory predicts them and they don't exist, that's kind of evidence that your theory sucks. Okay, if you can't collect your magical energy, if you can't make it move your spaceship, then it's not real energy, jackass. Okay. Do you have to make sense with regards to thermal energy? Of course, you have to conserve energy. And there's no such distinction between any of these forms of energy. It's like saying blonde hair or blue eyes or this kind of stuff. This is irrelevant, thermal energy versus any other kind of energy. It's all momentum. It's all mass and velocity. There isn't any other form of energy. If you understand that pendulums with a different length have different periods, wouldn't it be likely that the lever acts like a pendulum placed sideways? Obviously, that's part of the argument, but obviously in gravity, that doesn't work because the energy you're storing it. Pendulums store energy. They take the energy, they store it in the gravity, and then the gravity gives it back, like an ocean wave. That's what's causing the oscillation, is the wave is basically just storage of energy in gravity and to be used again later. That's how oscillators work. Oscillators wouldn't oscillate if they lost the energy. They have to store the energy someplace so they can use it again and again and again. Retard. So the length of the fulcrum would matter. The length to the fulcrum would matter. So of course it matters. And of course that's what we're talking about. Oh, just too stupid. All right, so there is a comment by... Oh, the Iron Jackass. So I think I'll reference that. I won't bother to go find it because I don't know which one of the Brozo idiotic videos it's on. But he uses this stupid inertia thing again. He keeps talking about inertia as if this could possibly mean anything, this stupid word. When I've pointed it out over and over. Okay, might as well go there. Might as well draw it, I guess. All right, so, this word inertia just doesn't mean anything. It's, if I used an electrical comparison, it might have something to do with impedance or something, or some word you could use like that, or resistance or something. But there really isn't any, okay? There's no, the reason why the lever, changes the mass of something is merely because of the velocity. It's clearly more velocity the further out you go. Okay, the further out you go, the more velocity you're putting into an object, and that's energy. So so just like watts equals volts times amps. Okay, energy. Okay, in these circumstances equals mass times velocity. All right, and so that's all that matters. So you can have less mass and a higher velocity, or you can have more mass and less velocity. And that's all there is in the universe in terms of measuring this stuff. It's just energy and containers. So it's just velocity and the container. So when you're transferring energy, the energy has to be conserved. And all you're really saying is that you can have a lot of velocity here and a small amount of mass, or you can have a lot of mass and a big mass and a very small velocity. So you can just, that's all, but you're always just converting. So any motion, any arrow you have in a direction, when you're transferring it to something else, it's just sometimes changing the denomination. So when you might be able to carry $5 bills here, but this guy can only do $1 bills. Okay, so for every piece of matter will only have $1. These are just locations where you store the money, and it can only store them in $1 units. So it can only travel at a very small velocity, $1. Because it has to spread it all, it has to take the $25 and has to spread it into all those units. So the basic idea of inertia makes no sense. There's no force. There's no, something doesn't say, I don't want your energy. It just says, you have to give it to me in a form I can use. Okay, that's all it's really saying. So you're just going to dump your energy into something. So when a bowling ball hits a pin, the bowling ball has a certain mass and velocity. And when it hits the pin now has what it has. So if this had $10, and now the pin takes $3, well, the bowl only has $7 left then. And that's the conservation, and that's how it works. You give your mass away, you give the energy away. So nothing is resisting. The pin isn't saying, I'm going to resist moving. It's saying, you have to give me the energy for me to move. If you don't give me energy, I'm not going anywhere. And you have to give it to me in a form I can use. And so if the pin can't go, it's a good example. It has more mass than you. Say if the pin was more massive than the ball, so you threw a gumball at the pin. Well, obviously the pin can't do
gumball velocity. It can't go away at 15 miles an hour. So you have to do the conversion thing. That is, you have to take the energy that's in a high velocity form, a high denomination bill, and you have to break it into smaller denominations for the pin to be able to absorb it. And if it can't, then if you can't do that, then you're going to bounce off. But I mean, there's no inertia.
Anyway. So I think that's enough of a video. I'll think and see if there's anything else I need to respond to. Brozo hasn't done his punchlines for his silly videos. And I don't think he's going to, frankly, because he'd have to concede the second video was a pile of shit. And the first video was also a pile of shit. Obviously, whatever the gimmick is, he did something to way dampen the function of the lever. So there's no other weight on the other side. That's none of that's taking place. It's some gimmick, some nonsense. All right. So anyway, and we'll see if despair shows any fucking integrity and concedes that, well, yeah, you're right. I would rather get run over by a car going 100 miles an hour than one going 10 miles an hour or 2 miles an hour. Are no miles an hour. Yeah, maybe I'll just drop a car on you, okay, and let you just sit under the tire. Yeah, which one would you rather have? A car not moving on top of you or a car moving? Yeah, which one? Which one do you think you'll absorb more energy from? Shit. I mean, these, you know, this is not, you know, you don't need much brains to follow along. And so this whole thing is just so ridiculous that I have to make these kind of arguments. I mean, really, 10-year-olds can get it. I mean, I think a 10-year-old could, you know, if you explain to them, oh yeah, if the car's moving, it's only pushing down for less amount of time. But if it's not moving, then I have to, oh, it's really, really heavy. Yeah, I think they could get it. That obviously it's a different amount of energy being transferred to you if the car rolls over you or if the car sits on top of you. It's a different amount of energy. Shit. Fuck. Anyway. So disappointing, this planet. Planet of less than apes. Okay, so till the next time, this has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation to a way too stupid world.